You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to Smashed from The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. I'm Mo Brady.
And I'm Aaron Albano.
Don't end up leaving early, 'cause I've been waiting for you all night long. Falling, I'll make it easy for you, 'cause I've been waiting for
Welcome back, listeners, to our tongue-in-cheek recap of what is television's most detailed depiction of the theater industry. And yes, we're still talking about Smash, the NBC series that chronicled the creation of a Broadway musical and all the drama that ensued along the way.
We've been going back, episode by episode, to see how the supposed love letter to Broadway has held up over the past decade. In each episode, we're looking to find the answers to these three questions. Did it represent Broadway then? Does it represent Broadway now? And is it any good?
So let's dive in and talk about episode 3 of season 2, The Dramaturg. Aaron, give us the stats.
The Dramaturg premiered on February 19th, 2013. It was written by Larry Shaw and directed by Brian Golubov, both newcomers to Smash as of season 2. The viewership was 3.29 million viewers, which was 1.16 million down from the previous episode 2 weeks prior. We saw new material from both our up-and-coming shows this episode. We were treated to a brand new song from Bombshell called Our Little Secret, written by Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, and a preview of a song from currently unnamed show soon to be known as Hit List called Good For You, written by Drew Gasparini. The episode also featured Megan Hilty singing a cover of Robin's Dancing on My Own, as well as snippets of The Wiz's Soon As I Get Home, sung by Jennifer Hudson, and Catherine McPhee's mini rendition of They Just Keep Moving the Line. And pray tell, Mo, what happens in The Dramaturg?
I will both pray and tell. Eileen demands that Tom and Julia meet with a dramaturg named Peter Gilman to make the quick fixes she thinks the show needs. Tom thinks Peter could be a shepherd for their play, but Julia is afraid dramaturgs are parasites, especially when he reads her for focusing on DiMaggio instead of putting sex appeal into Marilyn herself. Derek knows that new musicals take time to develop, but needs something now, something big. So he's burning the candle from three ends, staging a Bombshell number for potential producers, scheming with Veronica Moore to get his job back at The Wiz, and agreeing to meet Kyle and Jimmy about the plot that goes around their great songs. Ivy talks Smash's real-life casting director Bernie Telsey into letting her audition for a revival of Liaisons, but feels she has little chance of booking it up against real names like Jen Damiano and Jesse Mueller. When she stops by Bombshell rehearsal to ask Derek for advice about auditions, she realizes that she needs to start dancing on her own.
Ooh, nice.
Tom helps her to realize the Liaisons role is more like Marilyn than she had initially imagined, and that boost helps her win the part. Inspired, or in spite of Peter Gilman, Julia writes a non-PG number for Marilyn and JFK called Our Little Secret. It loses Derek a job on The Wiz, but Eileen calls it the perfect direction for Bombshell. Jimmy continues to be his usual angry white man self, seemingly pissed off at every opportunity Karen and Kyle provide him to share his show with the world. When they finally meet up with Derek, Jimmy describes the story of their show, a young man who hates the world but has a treasure trove of mind-blowing music. Stealing his songs to catapult her fame, a female fling gets addicted to the fame his music provides, and he lets her even though his love with her will destroy him.
So
but
subtle.
Derek is intrigued enough to pound beers with the creative team of this new musical, and they begin their work on the show together.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
First off, I want to talk about the title credits, the beginning of the show. I feel like this was the first time
we'd
seen... Yeah, totally new. It was like exactly the title credits that Smash always should have had.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It was gorgeous. I have no notes. It was gorgeous.
I felt like it was an event. It made everybody seem like a star. It made it seem like that this was a story worth telling, and it was going to be dramatic and exciting.
Title credits aside, how did you like the episode?
Man, I feel like it's just going to go downhill before it goes uphill. Maybe it's because I'm waiting for my part, but I'm also there's just so much of sort of like hemming and hawing required in a 15 episode arc where you're like, all right, Bombshell needs work. We all know it. Yes. Okay. We need a dramaturg to help with that process. Sure.
Do you think they use this term correctly? Is Peter in the show what we'd colloquially understand as a dramaturg?
No, he's what we would call a show doctor.
I think so, too.
A dramaturg, you don't hide in so much mystique, right? I mean, this is probably because we're coming from the actor perspective, but I think about the dramaturg as the person who gives you the packet at the beginning of the first rehearsal and is like, here's the historical context.
It's very scholarly. It's someone who is like a theater historian who will like tell you everything you need to know about this existing show.
Or about the historical context of the show. It's sort of like, how does the action of the play relate to the historical time period that it was supposedly taking place in?
Yeah, so why wouldn't they just say show doctor?
I don't know, because show doctor seems sexier, doesn't it? The show doctor.
Yeah. Like, was it an attempt to add this sort of level of sophistication? But it backfired? I don't know.
I totally hear what you're saying, and I did not think about it at all until this conversation.
But that said, so term aside, Peter is the new show doctor on Bombshell.
Sure. Oh, that sounds so sexy. It's like he's wearing a lab coat, and he's got like a pencil in his pocket, you know?
Especially when it's Daniel Sinjata. Holy crap.
Yeah, I think of Daniel Sinjata as Take Me Out, the original naked baseball player in Take Me Out.
I didn't know that work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Fantastic. Even better. But
stop drooling, Aaron.
But okay, so Peter comes in as the new show doctor.
Right, which we find out sort of in fits and starts, right?
Uh-huh.
He's been hired, but then Eileen's like, just meet with him. Oh, yeah, he did see the show 4 times. Oh, he's already on staff.
Unnecessarily sneaky, where I'm like, hey, we know the reviews. Like, she knows the problem with the show from the public's perspective is the book.
Yeah, no one's questioning if the book wasn't good. The question is, can Julia do it on her own, or does she need help or a kick in the pants to make it happen, right?
Yeah, and that's what... I mean, but if that's the test, Julia fails miserably. Why? And it's something that I get into with, like, this entire episode with Julia. All I have written down is Julia's ego is overwhelming. Like, this whole issue where she's like, I don't want a show doctor. People are going to think that the show's in trouble. People are going to think that I lost it. People are going to think that we can't do it on our own. People are already saying that, Julia.
Yeah.
You have it on, you have receipts. People are already saying that. And if you want Bombshell to reach its fullest potential, wouldn't you at least entertain the idea that you might need help?
Right. Does Julia think that the show is good as is? Does she think it's great?
Clearly she does. And it's not. It's not. But that's where it's revealing of Julia's sort of mindset. Because whenever she and Peter get into it, her definitions of why it's good is that, well, they stood up at the end. Oh, well, they cried when Marilyn died. Her entire gauge on quality is based on audience response.
Right. It's because even this far into the process, they haven't settled on a strong point of view for their interpretation of a show about Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't believe that their show is good because they believe their show is good. They believe their show is good because people like it.
And because it's based on a great idea. And Peter says that when they're in Peter's apartment and drinking fancy coffee, right? Mm-hmm. She puts him on the spot and says, what's one thing you like? And he says, I think the subject matter is good.
Yeah.
Maybe she's used to having a more hands-on director. I mean, Derek's a pretty bad director, you know, in terms of like rehearsal room behavior, but mm-hmm. he also doesn't seem to be coming at Bombshell with like a strong point of view himself. Maybe she's used to on Heaven on Earth and Two for the Road. I don't know. What's the other called?
It was like Two If by C, Three If by whatever it's called. Three If by whatever. Yes, continue.
Maybe those musicals had like a stronger director who had a stronger vision, and so she was getting kind of guided more by someone else.
Yeah.
No one's steering the ship,
but that's what's... Because the show began with them. The show began with them. And the them meaning Tom and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And again, assuming that their rise to power in this version of Broadway is well-founded, at some point, they were doing very good work. And arguably, this is still very good work, but...
Well, there are illusions that Heaven on Earth is a lark, right? That their first musical, whose name we can't remember, is a good first musical, but not great. The Heaven on Earth is a hit, but isn't necessarily a deep show, right? And then here in Bombshell, they're trying to create a more meaty piece about Marilyn Monroe.
Huh.
Maybe they're just not very good at depth.
So Bombshell is their attempt at a deviation from what they normally do?
I think the Bombshell is an attempt to create more serious in-depth theater than Heaven on Earth.
Fascinating. Okay, so that changes things. Because then that means that she's used to acclaim in a genre that she's not currently in and is not equipped to deal with this kind of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they go at it on the street.
Oh, I love that scene.
I'm like, I would listen to this podcast. Like, if it was just Peter and Julia arguing about Bombshell, if they produced Bombshelled on The Ensemblist, I would listen to it.
Don't give me any more ideas. We know that I'm creating too much content right now. Anyway. Right.
But listening to them argue about the show was thrilling. And I was like, this is...
This goes back to my theory. It's like, let the drama be about the show and putting up the show, right? Like, I don't need any of your sort of like backstage romance, blah, blah, blah. Like, the creation of a Broadway musical is exciting enough.
Yeah.
So Peter inspires her to create the song, Our Little Secret. And everyone's like, yes, that's the right direction. I was like, that sounds like boring song that Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman wrote for Catch Me If You Can. doesn't thrill me at all.
Well, like, I was like, Peter's right. Like, this isn't it. This was better, but this isn't it. And when they love it, Julia's like, okay, well, we're done. It's like, no, you're not.
And why don't you want to make it any better? Even if it's good, why are you like, great, on to the next problem? Why aren't you like, yeah. I feel like anybody who is a creator wants to keep making the thing better, even if it's good. That's the thing that makes us all crazy as artists, is the fact that we can like
we
never
can continually improve.
Happy.
Yeah. It's never good enough. It's always going to be good. It's never good enough. Guaranteed. Hamilton was fine on the page like 3 years after Lin started working on it. He still worked on it until it was at the Public, and then he still worked on it until it was at Broadway because...
Because he'll never be satisfied.
Get out of here.
All right. I feel like it's time to finally talk about Hit List. Let's talk about Hit List.
Let's talk about Hit List. Go.
Okay. So we've been hearing about these composers, right? They write the songs. They write the great songs. And now finally we get to hear the quote-unquote plot of
Hit List.
which is just the worst.
I wrote, literally, what I wrote at the end of the episode was, wow, this show sounds like a mess.
Right. The only things that really make sense in it are the direct parallels to the lead character in Hit List, to Jimmy, and the lead female character in Hit List, to Karen.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is A Star Is Born plus Hamlet plus a little bit of Romeo and Juliet. Like, what does that even mean?
I don't even know what that
and
I
then
was like.
Kyle has these horrible asides, which Andy Mantis like sells, God bless, but like, like his interjections of, there are all these other characters too.
We'd assume.
What characters, Kyle? Like, if they're important, if they're characters, tell us about those characters when you're telling us about your musical.
Like, and then we don't even have a second act? Like, okay, so you don't have a plot.
Man.
Here's a question. Do you think in any other world this would have been a successful meeting? Like, had this happened in the restaurant like it was supposed to, would this have been intriguing enough for a show? And granted, neither of us have been at like the beginnings of a show's process, so maybe this is enough, but...
Okay, so Bombshell has the... It's based on a good idea, right? Mm-hmm. Bombshell is based on Marilyn Monroe, and so you can bring in parallels of like... You can imagine someone being like, let's create a musical about Cher or Donna Summer or Tina Turner. And everyone's like, yeah, great. Those are great ideas for a musical.
You can get invested by the concept and not have to worry about like the inner details yet.
Right. Yeah. So then the Hit List comparison is like The Wrong Man or A Strange Loop. Musicals from relatively new composers that are based on great ideas, right? I think people were intrigued at this idea with The Wrong Man of like, oh, this is a story that is interesting and has great music, right? Or A Strange Loop where you're like, oh, it's a musical inside a musical. That's fascinating. And it's about, it's written by a guy who was an usher at the New Amsterdam, and it's about being an usher at the New Amsterdam. Like, there's an intrigue sort of around the idea, right?
There's like this meta element to it that's like fascinating.
That's interesting and enough to be like, oh, that's an interesting idea for a musical. Let's hear more, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, they've got a good, even if you think of not new composers, but I'm thinking about soft power, like a musical inside a play, it's a reverse King and I. I'm interested, right? There's your elevator pitch. They all have elevator pitches.
This was a poor elevator pitch.
Yes. A Hit List has a poor elevator pitch, and that makes you wonder, why would anyone believe that this is the next big thing?
Exactly. And that's where I'm like, here's my biggest issue, especially with Jimmy, is that basically, both Karen and Derek have been chasing down this dude who they've decided is brilliant, but clearly doesn't want anything to do with this. And then when he does, he pretends like he wants it because of his friend. I'm just like, where? How does this even...
Yeah, I don't think you get anywhere in this business unless you actually want...
Want it? Yeah. Like, right. I'm just like... They literally are continually chasing him down. Jimmy is blowing every single opportunity that he's given by both Karen and Derek, both either by pissing them off or not showing up or like just angrily walking away like, mar, 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 the world's against me. I'm like, at some point, the people who are offering you the opportunity wash their hands of you and is like, bye. I feel like it's this problematic message in their storyline where I'm like, you can blow all your opportunities and treat people like trash.
If you're a white guy.
Yeah. If you're an angry, brooding white dude with a modicum of talent, people will just want you to succeed.
There's no reason to root for them.
No.
We're rooting for Bombshell, right? Whether it be because you want the show to succeed or you want actors to succeed or you've invested in it. Like, we want Bombshell to work. And there's no reason to want Hit List to work.
I wanted them to, episode one, I wanted him to, there's an excitement about Kyle, there's a mystique about Jimmy, but then we're now three episodes in, and what has Jimmy done? Just piss us off. Just like he's treated the other characters in this show like garbage, he's basically, through proxy, treated the audience like garbage, and I don't want to root for him anymore. I'm like, you're going to act like this? Fine, forget it. I don't want you to succeed. I don't think your show's that good.
You were burned by some white straight men in your life, weren't you?
That's for a different podcast. But
keep up to date with next week's recap, be sure to watch season 2, episode 4 of Smash, entitled The Song. Which song?
I guess we're gonna find out. We're going to find out.
You can find Smash episodes either on the NBC app or at NBC.com.
The Ensemble List was produced today by me, Aaron Albano.
And me, Mo Brady. There are two great ways you can be helping The Ensemble List right now. One is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And the second is by becoming a Patreon member, which you can do at patreon.com/TheEnsembleList.
You can subscribe to The Ensemble List on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, or listen to all of our episodes on bpn.fm. And they're all on one place.
Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah. We have our own feed on Broadway Podcast Network now. You can look for Smashed. Look, Aaron, you're all grown up.
Yes.
You're a real
boy. I've made it.
And you can follow us on Instagram because, like, let's say you weren't following us on a podcast platform. We share all our episodes there, and you'd be like, oh, great, new Smashed episode.
There they are.
There they are. Perfect. All right, thanks for listening, guys.
Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.